So we are in a series, and the series is called One Thing. And it's built on the premise that if you or I were to spend any kind of time together, talking, maybe over a cup of coffee, families getting together, hunting, fishing, just whatever, what is one thing I would want to say to you? Now, Pastor Marty talked about it last week, you live a life of love. We all need to live a life of love. If we're going to win people to Jesus, we need to love people, for God is love. And if we're going to show people Jesus, then we got to show them love. He said something in there that was just amazing to me. Well, I probably heard it before, but it hit me this time. You may be the only Jesus someone ever sees. That's so real, isn't it? I mean, there's so many people out there that have no idea what Christ really is. But what I want to talk to you today about is one thing keeping us from Christ. Now, there are a lot of things that keep people from Christ, but there's one thing that I want to talk about. So, one thing keeping us from Christ. Now, I want to go ahead and tell you what it is, and then I want to build it up a little bit, but it's culture. It's our society. I believe our culture and our society keeps people, many people, from coming to Christ. It has, it is, and it will continue to do it. And unless we navigate society, learn how to enter into the kingdom of God, it could stop us as well. Now, I'm going to use culture and society, and I'll use them as synonyms back and forth, but what I'm talking about is the culture we live in today. But I'm going to use the first century culture as well. So let's get into the scriptures. Now, when I get into the scriptures, I get better. What I mean by that is I'm comfortable there. And I'm going to, as we go in, and you'll see what I'm talking about, but I'll take a word and I'll stop and I'll interject some thoughts about it. But we'll see. So here we go. Let's read some scripture. A certain man, and this is from Luke chapter 18 and verse 18. A certain man asked him, a certain ruler asked him. Now the word ruler, see how I stop? A certain ruler, now ruler here is, he's very important. He's probably, most likely, the lead pastor in a synagogue. But also we'll find out, and we'll read in just a few minutes, he's extremely wealthy. In Mark's gospel, it talks about how he's young, so he's called the rich young ruler. So he's at the apex of his culture. He's at the very top of society. This certain ruler asked Jesus, good teacher. Now, stop there. He didn't see Jesus as the Messiah or as the Christ. How did he see him? As a good teacher, not Christ. That's interesting. What must I do to inherit, there's another interesting word, inherit eternal life? That's a good question. We've probably all sort of asked that somewhere along the way. You know, what do I need to do to make sure I'm getting it done correctly, to make sure I get my eternal life? But the problem here is eternal life is not inherited. See, we have eternal life by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We can't inherit it. I can't get it from my grandma, grandpa, or I can't give it to my children after me. I wish sometimes we could, you know, but that's not how it works. We come by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But their society told them they inherited it. That because of the covenant that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had with God, and because you keep the laws of the commandments of Moses, then you get it. You inherit it. And culture lied to them. Kept this man and so many from Jesus Christ. Their culture lied to them, rejected Jesus, keeping many from Christ. See, what their culture actually taught them is that Jesus was a liar, a lunatic, a heretic, and as soon as we can, we're going to find a way to arrest him, and we're going to kill him and crucify him so that no one can listen to him or follow him. So, let's read on. Here's my point. Let me give you my point. That's what I'm going to read on. I believe if we spent much time together, we'd eventually talk about things our culture tells us, teaches us, and attempts to force us to do. Bottom line, culture lies to you. And it doesn't care what you think or what you believe. It wants to force you to do what it says is right and what it says you should do. Now let's read on. So Jesus responds to the question, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother. Now here's his response. All these things I've kept since I was a boy, he said. Now, here is something really good, really good. When Jesus heard this, it was sort of like Jesus set him up. You know, Jesus said all this so that he would say that. And so Jesus wanted him to sort of confess what a great person he was. And he had done all the inheriting things. And so when Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack, here it is, one thing. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, now here's the one thing the guy lacked. Then, come follow me. The guy wasn't following Jesus. He was following his money. He was following his authority. He was following culture. He wasn't following Jesus. And that wasn't the response that he was expecting Jesus to give him. Not the response at all. In fact, Jesus gave him the very opposite response. Jesus said, come follow me. Society said, don't. Jesus said, give everything away. Society said, be wealthy. Jesus sometimes tells us the exact opposite of what society tells us. So I want to see if you're with me here. I'll ask you a question. If you agree with me that society lies to us, has lied to us, will continue to lie to us, and keep some people from following Jesus, would you slip up your hand just to encourage me? Yeah. Online, type it in. Society lies to us. Culture lies to us. There you go. So when he heard this, he became very sad. This is the next verse that I want to read. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Mark's gospel says, the man's face fell and he went away sad. Is anything wrong with having great wealth? Goodness, I hope not. Nothing wrong with it. I want to be wealthier. But if it affects my eternal life or your eternal life, then yeah, there's something wrong with it. Reading on, Jesus looked at him. After the guy's face fell and he got sad, Jesus looked at him. Imagine that. Imagine Jesus just looking at you, maybe shaking his head, just eyeball to eyeball. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard. Say that back to me. Hard. How hard. Online, type it in. How hard. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's hard. And he compares that. Now, this is a hyperbole that Jesus gives. He gave them all the time. Cut off your right hand if you can't stop it from sinning. Pluck out your right eye if you can't stop from looking at things you shouldn't be looking. You know, he does hyperboles all the time. And this is a hyperbole. So he's not really, relating. But now God could do it if he wanted to. He could shrink the camel and enlarge the needle. But it could be done. But that's not his point here. What he's saying is it's hard. It's just about impossible. But it's not impossible. And that's what the point I want to make here. Those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? If this guy can't be saved, he's a Jew. He's inherited his eternal life. He's keeping the commandments. He's a preacher. You know, how in the world is it that he can't be saved? If he can't get there, who can get there? And here is what I want us to see here. Jesus replied, what is impossible with men is possible what? With. Not by God, not for God. He's not saying that God can get a camel through the eye of a needle. What he's saying is it's as hard as it is for a rich man to get into heaven, he's going to have to do it with God. And as hard as it is to navigate culture, As hard as it is to thread that eye of the needle into the kingdom of God and to enter into eternal life, how hard it is. We can't do it by ourselves. It's impossible. But we can do it with God. And we have to have God to get us there, to navigate culture, and to get us into eternal life. I want to read you some things that I've wrote about how culture attacks us. And just kind of put it as a question to you. Does culture attempt to tell you what success is or isn't? Does culture tell you how you should raise your children? What you should allow your children to be taught in school? Or even though you don't want them to be taught that or that stuff. Is that what it's telling you to do? Does culture tell you how to think, how to talk, even though you don't agree? Does culture say profanity is okay even though you don't want to hear it, and even your children, you surely don't want to hear it? Does culture maybe attempt to tell you what clothes to wear because it's in style, but you'd like to dress maybe a little more modest? Culture even tells us what's acceptable to say or not say even though you disagree, and on and on and on we could go. Culture will beat you into submission relentlessly until you finally give in or at least compromise and soften. Oh, that's not too bad. Do you realize the majority of why you are so busy, so in debt, your family is dysfunctional, marriage falling apart, why you are so stressed, sick, angry, and what primarily keeps you from Christ and so many others is culture? And our faces fall, and we walk away from Christ. The lesson I want us to take away is culture tells us wealth and many other things are more important than following and listening to Jesus Christ. So I want to look at another story. This one's about Martha and Mary. You've probably heard it. It's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 38. It says here, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way. Now, where were they going? They're going to Jerusalem. And what's vital here to understand is he will now be crucified. He'll be arrested. What the Jews said they were going to do, they did. He's on the way there, so the things he says are so vital to us to understand, because there's so many one things in here. And he came to a village. The village is called Bethany. It's about 2 miles from Jerusalem, where a woman named Martha opened her home to him, and she had a sister called Mary. I need to stop there just a second. Yes, Martha had a sister named Mary, but she also had a brother named Lazarus. Now, Lazarus isn't mentioned in this story, and I find that fascinating. Why isn't Lazarus mentioned in this story? Because it's a story about women. It's a story about how culture pressed down and oppressed women. I'll show you. This is what it's about. Mary, sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Now, I want to kind of flesh this out a little bit. So let's get a head count. How many people is Martha preparing? For how many? Okay, let's count them. There'd be Jesus, 12 disciples, 13. And then you got Martha, and you got Mary, and probably Lazarus. So we're talking about 16 people, 15, 16 people. Now, ladies, I just want to ask you, you got 15, 16 people in your home, and you want to cook for them. Wouldn't a little assistance be nice, especially from your sister who lives in your house? And it appears that Mary had begun helping her, but she left Martha. Now, you know, I kind of do these things, and I'm, you know, and I just want to What do you feed them? Okay, let me make it clear. Okay, see, not only are there 16 people, but one of them is Jesus. One of them is the Son of God. One of them is God manifest. What are you going to feed God? I know. Soul food. So I made a menu. We'll have some fried chicken. Fried chicken is good, right? That's good soul food. You start right there. Build around it. How about some sliced onions, sliced tomatoes? That'll be good. Maybe some roasted corn on the cob, mashed potatoes, collard greens, black-eyed peas. Woo! No deviled eggs. Well, we got to do dessert. Angel food cake? That heavenly delight? And we'll make some divinity for them to go on the road with. So here's Martha. You know, just she had many things going on. I'm sure that's not what it was, but she had many things going on. And so she's busy in the kitchen cooking. And maybe she begins to smell the chicken burning. Mary, get the chicken. Mary, turn the chicken off. Mary, where are you? Mary. So she's looking for Mary. Where is Mary? Sitting. She's just sitting there beside Jesus, listening to what he's saying. Mary, Lord, tell her to come help me. And I don't think that the response that she got from the Lord was what she expected. But it's so sweet. Now, I want to show you something. A quote of how this society, the problem here is, let me ask you, what is the problem other than Mary's not in the kitchen? It's a cultural problem. Mary, women were not supposed to be out there with the men being taught scriptures. Now, I want to read this to you. It's a quote, and I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce this guy's name and show you how I can't pronounce this guy's name, but it says, "Women's wisdom is solely in the spindle." What does that mean? Women's wisdom is in sewing and cooking and keeping babies and keeping children and having children and taking care of the man. You know, that's where women's wisdom is. Then he added, "The words of the Torah should be burned rather than entrusted to women." They would rather burn their scriptures than be taught to a woman. What's Mary doing out there? With Jesus, with the men. That's the problem. But Mary was navigating society, threading that eye of that needle, entering her kingdom and getting her eternal life. She didn't care. She was rebelling against culture. And sometimes we just got to do that. We've got to rebel. I am not doing that. You know, culture has us so beat up, so afraid of it. We're afraid to talk to our very best friend about some things culture tells us. Our family will blackball us because we don't agree with them about things culture says. We're afraid of it because it beats on us and it beats on us. We can't talk to one another about things of culture because we're afraid we'll offend them or they'll offend us and we'll get into an argument. Here's what Jesus said. "Martha, Martha, such love, such depth. I put my name there. Delbert. Put your name there. Say your name. Online, say your name. Martha, Martha, Delbert. The Lord answered, "You are worried and upset about many things, but look at this, only one thing. Only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen." I need you to say that back to me as well. Say chosen. Chosen. Online, type it in. Obey me. kidding. Okay. Chosen that what is better. Mary has chosen what is better. And watch, it will not be taken away from her. See, what culture gives you can be taken away from you anytime. And you one day, you lose it all. Now, but what God gives us in eternal life, what God gives us, what following Jesus gives us, will never be taken away from you. Never. That's what Jesus is telling her. Again, it's not the response that Martha was expecting. Pastor Marty, we were in a meeting. This was right after he finished the Four Bay County series. We were in a meeting, and Pastor Marty was sharing about how it had exploded, and there was so much to do and going on, and how it was weighing on him, and he felt so weighed by it. But it was a good thing, wonderful thing, but he was sharing how it was pressing him down a little bit. And so I asked him if I could say this, and he said I could. So he said something like this, something to this effect: as wonderful as Four Bay County is, I can't allow it to take me away from the one thing the Lord called me to do. I need time with my family. I need rest. And I need to focus on Christ. Now, I don't want to make sure you don't misunderstand me. Four Bay County will forever be here. Four Bay County is fabulous. But Pastor Marty was seeing how the pressures of it and how culture and society could use it to get him distracted and worried about many things. But he said, I'm not going to let that happen. Aren't you happy that your lead pastor prefers to do the one thing that is needed and to come and help us learn how to navigate society, thread the eye of that needle into the kingdom so we can get eternal life? Jesus is telling you, just like he told me, and continues to tell me, Delbert, I love you so much. I want the best for your life. But you got to choose. You got to choose which way you're going to go. Are you going to let culture dictate your life? Are you going to follow me for the best life possible? It's a choice. It's a choice that every one of us make. But how do we do this? How in the world, how do we navigate society as difficult as it is and as much pressure as it puts on us? How do we do this? You know, we don't have Jesus like the ruler did to ask the questions. We don't have Jesus to sit there in the living room with us where I can sit at his feet and listen to him. I don't have him like that. I can't. He's ascended, so what do I do? Well, one thing is the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to help teach us and comfort us and lots of other things. But there's some other things I want to talk about of compasses that help me navigate society and help me do what I know that I'm supposed to do in following Christ. And I want to share these with you. There are five of them. They're not in any specific order. Five is no more important than one. But they help me in my life. And I want you to maybe attempt to see if they will help you navigate society as well. Number one, choose your friends carefully. Now, I give you scriptures because each one is scripturally based in Proverbs 12:26, but the scriptures are full of verses that tell us to be careful about our friends. I refuse to connect with negative people. I have negative people in my life. I minister to negative people, but I don't connect with them. You take a fully charged battery, and then you take a fully discharged battery, and you connect those two batteries together, you know what happens. That fully discharged battery sucks the life out of the fully charged battery every time. And the more discharged batteries you connect to that fully charged battery, the lower and the lower and the lower that fully charged battery gets and becomes. It's that way exactly with our friends and people we connect with. They drain us. And we've all been there. We've all had been around people who just drained us. Oh, I don't want to ever do that again. And so that's what I'm trying to communicate you. So we've got to be very, very cautious about who we connect with. Now, make sure I say something here. See, I don't mean cast out your lost friends. Your lost friends need you to jumpstart them. Your lost friends are going to need you, and you need them so that you can bring them to Christ. I'm not saying we throw away those that we work so hard to get into our life so we can minister to them. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is you don't want to connect with them and spend so much time with them that they drag you down. The opposite is true. You can get around charged up people and they charge you up, right? They do. We were in a meeting last Monday. This is last Monday. Same meeting, but different Monday. But we were in a meeting last Monday. There was Pastor Roy, Casey, Pastor Marty, and me. All right, so we were there, and we were in this meeting, and my meeting was from 8:30 to about 9:30. And then they moved right on into another meeting, which I have not been invited to attend. And so my meeting ends, but I'm still sitting there. And so they're not going to say, Delbert, it's time for you to leave, you know, get out of here. That's not what they would do at all. But so it dawned on me, Delbert, you're not supposed to be in this meeting. It did. I jumped up and I grabbed my stuff and I stuffed it in my bag and I said, guys, I'm sorry. I said, I'm just a sponge. I'm just getting charged up, you know. And that's what people charged up you get around do to you. Be careful. It's your choice. Your friends are your choice. So choose the better. All right. Number two, choose to attend church. Hebrews 10:25. I'll give you that one. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Tells us do not forsake that. Why? Why does he say don't forsake it? Listen, you can't come here and listen to Wendell and this praise team and not get charged up. You can't do it. I watch it every week. I watch it online. I watch it, and it just charges me up. And you can't come here and hear a message from this platform that won't send you out of here challenged. So you go out charged up and challenged. And the body needs the body. You can't say to the eye, I don't need you. The ear can't say to the eye, I don't need you. You know, we need one another for connection. We need one another to build us up and charge us up for Christ. I watch online. And when you guys clap, we got these little emojis. Don't we, guys? We got these little emojis. There's three of them. One's a heart, one's a clapping hands, one's a raised hands. So when you guys are raising your hands, I'm sending those emojis. I'm raising my hands. And so Pastor Marty, Pastor Roy, whomever, gets into something and it's really good. And I want to amen it. I got these little hearts. I'll just start sending these little hearts right up. Amen, amen, amen. Or when you're worshiping the Lord or you're clapping your hands, got emojis. I get to pray for people online, right there in public chat or in private chat. I get to pray for people. I get to love people. You know, a lot of people sign on online. They'll say, good morning, North Star family. See, we need church. We need to attend church. We make that choice. It's your choice, unless you're a kid and your mom and dad made you come. But, and that's good. You'll thank them one day. But it's our choice. Number three, choose to spend time at the feet of Jesus in his word. This is a choice. I love God's word. I love it. Thomas Jefferson said, I can't live without books. I can't live without God's word. James 1:21 says, shows its power. It's able to save your very soul. Hebrews talks about how it's quick and it's powerful. It's alive. It's able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit. You need God's word in your life. It's a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. And reading God's word, letting it talk to me, is like Martha said, Martha being told by Jesus, you got to choose the better. That Mary has chosen the better. It's like this, the ruler coming to Jesus and asking the question. I have questions. I can find it in the word. Jesus says the same thing to me that he said then. Though he's ascended, he's still talking to me right through his word. It's your choice. Need to choose to read the word. Number four, choose to discipline yourself to spend time in prayer talking to our Father, our Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Now, prayer is a discipline. I've been in this thing 45 years. I came to Jesus in May the 7th, 19 something, but it's 45 years ago. I have found and learned that prayer is a discipline. If I don't discipline myself to pray, I won't pray. Culture will make sure I don't pray. Culture will say something else is more important. Oh, you can do that later. And you never will pray. But it's a discipline to be. 8 o'clock every night, I live on the beach, and so I go out to my balcony, and I talk to the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. I talk to all of them. I know Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. I know he said that, but I start that way, but I end up talking to all of them. For example, these past couple of weeks since I heard that I was going to be speaking, I have been anxious. I have been nervous. You know, if I'd have let it, I could have had an anxiety attack. But I didn't, because I was praying. And I said, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you to bring up my remembrance. I need you to bring up the gifts and the talents that you've blessed me with. I need you. I'll go off with to visit my son or my daughter, and we're there at their homes, and at 8 o'clock at night, I have a date with God. And no matter what we're doing, I'm going to go outside, if the weather allows, and I'm going to talk with God. God to me is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so I'll go out, I'll talk with him. Now, if it's raining, the weather won't let me, I'll find some place. Jesus said a closet would do. So I'll get along with God. I'll tell you this. I play Fortnite. I know. That old guy, he plays Fortnite. He's a gamer. Yeah, I am. I don't let culture tell me that I can't play Fortnite. I played with some of your children and your grandchildren. And I may beat them, but I'm not. I played with a couple of young men that go to church here, Andrew and Patrick. I played with them not long ago. And I'm not bad. I'm not as good as they are, but I'm not bad. But I'll be playing Fortnite with my buddies online at 8 o'clock. Okay, I got to go. It's time to go. I don't tell them what I'm going to do. I think they know. But I go have my date with God. Just a thought. Put it in your reminder on your phone. Just a thought. Maybe have it buzz you. Set your time when it's best for you. But if you don't make it a discipline, it's not going to happen. I got to go. All right. Number 5, choose where you direct your heart. Matthew 6:21 and Luke 12:34 talks about where your treasure is, there your heart is. Your heart follows your treasure. I've learned that I can look at my checkbook or my bank statement, and I can find out where my heart's heading. I can look at how I'm spending my time, and I can find out where my heart's heading. And so one thing that I do, it's another discipline, and I've done it again for 45 years, is I've given my tithes, my offerings, and my alms exactly as the scriptures say to do it. And it's a discipline. But, you know, I'm like David. I've been old. Let me do it right. I've been young. Now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. Listen. I have not needed one thing since I began that 45 years ago. Now, I've wanted a lot of things, but never needed anything. God is faithful. I discipline my time. Where is my time going? Because that's where my heart's going. What's important to me is where my heart is going. So I direct my heart on what's really important. And only one thing is needed. So I direct my heart there. I direct my heart towards those one things. So I've given you 5 things. 5 things. Would you bow your heads with me? Those who are going to be praying with people at the end, you kind of be making your way. Know I'm winding up here. So what have I said to you today? What have I told you? What one thing would I say to you if we had an opportunity to talk? I've told you that culture is powerful. It is a weapon that the enemy will use on each and every one of us to stop us, keep us from following Christ. It's powerful. But I want you to know that following Jesus is the thing, the one thing maybe you lack. Getting busy and consumed by so many things like Martha, you need to choose the one thing that's really needed, like Mary did. Jesus says to you, just like he says to me, Delbert, I love you so much, but you must choose what is better. One lies to you, attempting to keep you from following Jesus, entering the kingdom of God, and if possible, rob you of eternal life. The other, following Jesus, gives you righteousness, peace, joy, the Holy Spirit, the abundant life, the kingdom of God, and leads us to eternal life. Which do you want? Which do you want, Delbert? It's your choice. Which do you want, you? Put your name there. It's your choice. Now, maybe you're here today and you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you may say something like, I don't know how. I know how. And every person here who has ever confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior knows how. But rather than tell you how, I want to read it to you right out of the Word of God. This is how you get saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm going to say that last part again. You will be saved. What do? You say it with your mouth. Jesus is Lord. What do? You believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. If you did that, you're saved. I don't want to say it out loud. Well, you don't have to. It doesn't say it out loud. What it says is just say it. Whisper it to yourself. Online, do it. If you're here, do it. Don't put it off. Choose today what you're going to do. Now, if you're here, we want to know. We want to know. We want to try to help you as much as we can, as much as you'll let us. So the connection card you know about is right there in that seat. Right on there in your connection card, I'm following Jesus today. Now, online, if you did it, right in that chat box, there's a little hand. Click it. And it'll take you to another page. It's a first step page. Go there, give us, whether you're here or online, give us your name and your email address and your mailing address. Because Pastor Martin will make sure you get a packet in the mail this week that will help you get started. Man, it's been fun talking to you. I hope you kind of liked it, but it's been fun. And I just want to pray for us. Our Father, I pray blessings upon everyone here. Blessings upon online and those who will hear this in the future. And I ask you to help us all navigate society, thread the eye of the needle of the kingdom of God, and enter into eternal life. We love you, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. And it's in the name of Christ Jesus we pray. Found people, find people, right? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Happy 4th of July. God bless you.